At least once a week, we say one of the creeds, which of course is always a helpful thing to do, because creeds are a short way of explaining what it is that we believe as Christians, even explaining what it is necessary for us to believe. And since we have recited them hundreds, if not thousands of times in the course of our lives, they have become very, very familiar to us. Most of us could probably say them just by heart without having to look at anything. But even with that, Christians, do we understand everything that the creed is saying? Let's look especially at the Nicene Creed, which we recited this evening. It says things like begotten, substance, incarnate. Would you be able to explain to somebody who asked what those things mean? Or since the creed insists on using these terms, why it uses them, rather than using some other word which it might have had instead? That's what we want to focus on tonight and all throughout the season of Advent. So the word that we're going to look at from the creed tonight is the word begotten. And the Nicene Creed uses this term begotten three times. It says, "And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made." It insists on using this term. So what does it mean then? Well, the word beget is an old word. And in its most basic meaning, when we're talking about humans, it is a relationship of a father to a child. A father begets a child. A child is begotten of their father. In fact, you're going to encounter this word much more often if you read the Old King James, especially in the Great List talking about father to son. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and so forth. So as long as we're talking about people, the word begotten is easy. We can clearly understand what it means. But we have to be careful when we are using it to talk about God. Because a human father to a son is one thing. But talking about God the Father begetting God the Son is something else. And the biggest reason for this difference, Christians, is because we as people live in time, and God does not. So when we're talking about people, a human father is always older than his son. I mean, I had to grow up, get married before I became a father. And there was a time when I was not a father. I'm always older than my children, and there was a time when they did not exist. That's just the nature of what it means to live in time. We can't have it any other way. So a father always comes before a son. But when we're talking about God, we're not talking about time. There was never a time when God the Father was not a father. There was never a time when God the Father did not exist, or when the Son of God did not exist. They have always been. God the Son has been begotten before all worlds, as the Nicene Creed says. It is true from eternity. So it's probably best to say in this case, then, that the Bible uses this term, even though it's kind of imperfect, even though it doesn't really work, to describe the relationship between the Father and the Son. But beyond that, it doesn't tell us anything else. God doesn't explain it to us in detail. We are attempting to describe a great mystery, something our words can't fully express, something our minds cannot fully understand. But let's listen to what John says in our reading, so that we can understand at least as far as we are able to. He says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in this verse, John is calling Jesus the Word, and he's calling God the Father simply God. And he tells us three things about their relationship. He says, first of all, in the beginning was the Word. There was never a time when there wasn't a Word. It's not as if the Father came first and then the Son came later. They have always both been there since eternity, since before the beginning of time. That's what we see happening right away in this verse. John tells us, second of all, that the Word was with God. And that word "with" shows that there is a distinction between them, that the Father is not the Son and the Son is not the Father. Because if you say something is with something else, it implies that they are together, but they're distinct from each other. If I say that I am with you tonight, it means we are together, but it doesn't mean that we are one and the same thing. So they are different, and it's important not to confuse the two. The third thing that John tells us is that the Word was God. They are distinct from each other, but that doesn't mean that they are two different gods. The Son is truly God, just as the Father is truly God. Not God in different ways or God in a greater or a lesser sense. They are both the one God. God is three persons, yet only one. That is who he is and has always been from eternity. It's simply who God is. And this is what John shows us tonight. He also says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And if you go back to that old King James again, you'd actually see our word in this verse, where it says, "glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And so what John is telling us is that the Son is not a total mystery to us, as if we don't know him at all or we can't know him at all. No, Jesus is the eternal Son. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. And as God, Jesus has always existed. There is never a time when he did not exist. It's not as if God the Son came into existence when he was born at Bethlehem, or that God the Father only became the Father about 2,000 years ago or so. No, he has always been, because Jesus is fully and forever the Son of God. Now, Christians, I recognize that this is not easy. I'm not pretending to stand up here and explain this all to you in a way that's going to make perfectly clear sense, as if you're not going to have any questions left after I get through with it. I'm still going to have questions. You're still going to have questions because we are dealing with a great mystery here. We're talking about who God is in himself, something we're not even going to fully understand in eternity. Because if we want to know who God is completely and fully, we would have to be God. And that's something we're never going to be. So even in eternity, there's still going to be a mystery. God will be a mystery to us, his creatures. But that doesn't mean that we say these things just because it's interesting. And it's not that we're just saying these things because I'm trying to bore you. Rather, these things are important. It is critical to say this and to say what we can about God, even to insist upon it against all error. Because if we do not say who God is, then we don't have the true God. And in that case, we cannot be saved. So let's take, for example, what the Creed says about Jesus being begotten, not made. That might not sound like much, but it's actually a very important difference. And if we lose that difference, or if we ignore it, we will also lose God. So let me put it this way so that you can see why. What would it mean if we said that the Father made the Son? How would that be different? Well, it would mean that that the Son is no longer God, or at least not God in the same way that the Father is God. Because God made the world. He made everything around us. He made you and I. He made all of it. But this is not God. It is different from him. It is distinct. Anything that God makes is going to be less than what he is. It's kind of like the angels, right? The angels are powerful creatures, far more powerful than we are. And yet God made them. They are not God. So if the Father made the Son, then the Son would no longer be God. And in that case, if the Son was no longer God, we would be eternally lost. Because Christians, there would no longer be the forgiveness of sins. It would be one creature trying to save another, and that just can't happen. I can't die for your sins. You can't die for mine. Not even the angels would be able to do that. An angel did not die for you. Some of them even fell into rebellion. One creature cannot save another. So if the Son is not God from eternity, if he's just a creature, there is no salvation. There is no hope. And we would be left to work out our salvation all on our own. And would we be able to do that, knowing the depth of our sins? If the Son is made and not begotten, then all is lost. But Christians, the Son is the only begotten of the Father. He is truly God from all eternity. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And this Son has become one of us to deliver us from the power of sin and death. And being truly God, he did what we could not do. He canceled our debt and satisfied the wrath of God. We have received grace upon grace through Jesus Christ, who is the begotten of the Father from eternity. This is why we insist on using that word, the word begotten, even if it doesn't fully describe God, and even if we cannot fully understand. We use this word begotten because God has made himself known to us through Jesus Christ, the only begotten, so that we would be saved. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, help us to look to him, knowing that in him we find your free and full forgiveness. In his name we pray. Amen.